My wife and I fight probably the most over home improvement.
Miscommunication.
Probably over chores.
That I feel threatened by the situation.
Sadly, he lost his job recently. And so it's like, oh, please don't spend any money. And then I see something hit the checking account and I'm like, durr.
Well, perhaps you can relate to at least one of those comments about what your spouse does to make you angry. This is Focus on the Family, and today we're going to help you learn how to better respond when your spouse pushes your buttons. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, it just never happens. Silence.
I'm not taking that bait.
You know, I would say most marriages. It's true that not every marriage. I think we hear from you, those few that don't argue, and we understand that. Yeah. The 98% of us that do, this is for us today. And that's true. I mean, I think it's a healthy thing to disagree. You don't need to always agree, but it's conflict. And we need to know, as Christians particularly, how to manage conflict well. And I don't know that we talk about that enough, especially in our marriages, John. Now, when we do have broadcasts like this, people will write us and say, my husband and I, my wife and I, we don't argue. We don't believe as Christians we should. We started describing this, John, as I think intense fellowship or intense discussions.
Yes,
so people could understand what we're saying.
A lot of times, frankly, for us, we just know there's something there, but we don't call it anything. And unfortunately,
are you speaking about you and Dina?
Yes, I am. and sometimes we never get around to resolving it. So I really am looking forward to what we're going to hear today.
Well, and again, I'm pointing out that some of you might think we're crazy to talk about this, but our guests today really believe that conflict and how you respond to it can actually strengthen your marriage. Mm. How about that? And I think we all have quite a bit to learn in this regard. Here at Focus on the Family, we want to see you thriving in your marriages. And we're not perfect, I don't think, John. I'll speak for myself.
I'm not perfect.
Yeah. I consistently mess up. And that's one of the other things I want to be bold enough to say is that I think in Christian leadership, we got to confess our own shortcomings. Human beings are not perfect. That's exactly why we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we're starting with that premise. Here at Focus, we want to see you thrive in your marriage, in your parenting, all around. And that's our main goal.
And our guests are married. They've been together over 40 years,
okay.
And they are Deb and Ron DeArmond. And their book is Don't Go to Bed Angry, Stay Up and Fight.
Ding, ding, round one. Here we go, guys.
Let's go, put on the gloves.
I love that.
Don't go to bed angry.
Stay up and fight.
Okay, let's go right there. Some people are going, what? That's not right. Answer the critic right out of the gate, the person that says you should never be fighting as a Christian couple.
I don't think there's a Christian couple who's gone through premarital counseling that hasn't been told that it's not okay to go to bed angry, that you've got to work it out. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
That's Ephesians.
Ephesians. And it's misunderstood. If you break that down, it doesn't say don't go to bed until you have a resolution. Don't go to bed until you've come to agreement. It means don't go to bed angry. How long does that take?
That's true. It could be usually just minutes.
Well, and,
I think.
And we forget that anger is an emotion. And so deal with the emotion. What is it that made you angry? And that's not necessarily the resolution, but at least it's identifying, and you're not dealing with the facts. You're just dealing with the emotion of the thing. And it's like, hey, can we deal with that? And then we can go to bed, and then we can deal with this tomorrow, the facts of the case.
So when you look at the couples that you counsel, I think, in fact, when you wrote this book, you did a survey to kind of find out where people were struggling. What were the results of that survey?
Not surprisingly, the top two were poor communication, and the second one was feeling unappreciated in the marriage. Mm. And the truth is, if you're not good at communication, everything on the list after that is going to be impacted.
So you think that's the linchpin? Communication is the key.
I think it is. And it's not just, do I communicate well, but am I willing to speak up on this issue and risk conflict? It's quiet tonight. Do I want to trouble that?
So let's think about the early times in your marriage. Did that prove true for you? Did the survey hold up for your own experience?
It did. But within the communication there, with the appreciation tagged onto it, it meant that there was an early form of honor in at least dealing with each other, so that no matter what we were talking about, there was honor and respect, and I value your opinion. I'm looking at what you're saying. And, you know, actually, it was easier to listen early on than it is later. The older you get, the harder it becomes to listen.
And why do you think that is?
Yeah. To me, it's because I've formed all these ideas in the process of a conflict, and then she tries to stick in something else, and it's like, well, I've already figured it out. And so
is your conflict resolution easier today or more difficult?
It's just as challenging.
Just as challenging.
Truthfully,
I like that.
It is.
No, that's good.
You know, when there are children in the house, there's a buffer there. It's like not in front of the children.
A buffer?
A buffer.
Sometimes,
it's a whole conflict. What are you talking about?
You're right. Sometimes the argument is about them. But you also don't want to have that disagreement in front of them. And so sometimes it just resolves itself, or it's later it's like, what was that about? So when it's very quiet and there's a lot of, you know, opportunity. And as Ron said, you get older, you think you know how it works. I'll bet for both of you gentlemen, there's been some time when your wife has brought up a topic and you think, I know just where she's going. Do it for 43 years.
Well, we've done it for 31.
Okay.
But
there are plenty of times when I don't have a clue what's coming. That's really the problem.
I can get that. Now, in the survey, you also identified faith as a perspective. You had some non-believers in the survey.
We did.
What did you see? Anything distinctively between the Christian group that was surveyed and the non-Christian group?
No, and that's why we did it, because we really wanted to understand, does our faith give us an advantage?
Yeah.
And the answer
was
no.
What does that mean to you as counselors, as researchers? That seems like that would be such a deflating data point.
It was. And Ron's done a fair amount of, a lot of counseling with men in particular. I think that when tempers flare and the emotions rise, we just forget who we are. And whose we are.
We go to the flesh.
We go to the flesh.
We go to wanting to win.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, so how do we let our faith instruct us more constructively?
We learn to deal with our emotions in a correct way, the way God gave us emotions, not in a negative way. Emotions are not always talked and taught about in our church. We talk about the truth of the Word of God, the black and white of the Word, and don't go to bed angry, and, you know, and the joy of the Lord, and all of these emotional things within the Scripture, but yet you get into it, and now you're at home, and you're dealing with frustration, anger, and then joy, and it's like, I need to have an outlet. And most of the men that I work with, they don't deal with their negative emotion in a way and share it to their wife. She doesn't need to know this. She does need to know it. She needs to know what frustrates you, what brings that negative emotion up, so that then the positive emotion can come in.
I will never forget the day that Ron, in the middle of a pretty heated argument, put his hand up in the international stop sign and said, you know, Deb, he said, you process quicker than I do, you talk faster than I do, and if you want to win, girl, you're on a roll. But he said, if you want the best solution for this, we need to de-escalate this. Mm. Really look at it together so we can come up with something we can both agree on. And I'll be honest enough to say that in the moment I thought, well, mine is the best solution, therefore I win. But part
honest.
Of it was he called it out. And I think that that's what's helpful with emotion. If I can see high emotion and he's just walked in the door, it's probably not about me or about this issue. Hey, what's going on?
Let me ask you this. This is not intended to sound psychobabble-ish. I think the Bible is very straight about, you know, the sins of the father kind of cascading down to generations beneath them. I think what that is describing so often is the environment you grow up in, and families tend to have characteristics. They're good fighters. They're avoiders. I mean, this is where you learn how to deal with conflict is usually in your family of origin, how you grew up watching your mom and dad deal with conflict. Talk about that and then how that impacted the two of you and how you came into your marriage, either prepared or not prepared.
Well, and it always, the sins of the father. It's like, holy Lord, thank you.
You know, that isn't that, it'd be nice to hear sins of the mother.
Yes.
But the scripture's pretty clear. It's usually
pretty clear.
Us.
It's coming from the heart. But it was. I grew up in a family, early divorce in the military family, and then going into a step situation and step brothers. I was the only boy with two sisters. And then my mom marries, and now I have three older stepbrothers. So all of a sudden, my rank and position in the family.
How old were you when that merger occurred?
That happened, and when I was 9.
Wow. Okay.
And it just, you know, it really put me now I'm in a place and now I'm not the man of the house. I was the man of the house for 4 years while my mom was single. So now I went from the man of the house to the youngest boy.
The bullied boy,
yes,
most likely.
Very much so. So it, now I'm looking at dealing with conflict and growing through that. And, but God, I got saved at 12. Uh-huh. And that began to change my heart towards everything. And so I began to get his heart towards what was happening. And
Even at the early age,
I remember at 13 standing in the garage, cleaning it. Every Saturday I had to clean the garage. The stepboys are gone. It was like Alice. You know.
I'll adopt you.
Oh, my gosh.
Come clean my garage.
But it was that. And I remember standing there with a broom in my hand saying, Lord, I choose today to honor and respect my stepdad, because I know one day I'm going to ask my kids to do that same thing.
Boy, that is awareness at an early age.
And right. I snagged him at 17. So.
Yeah, you saw it coming, huh?
I did.
That's a good man.
I did.
So, but that's a good example of that family of origin issue.
Yeah.
And I, you know, some people, what's the biblical context? It is the sins of the father, typically sins of the parents.
Very much.
That cascade down. How about you?
Well, I had a brother who was 16 years my senior, and there were just the two of us. And he was gone by the time I was 2 to college, never returned to the state again. So I had older parents who were really all grown up. They knew who they were. They weren't trying to do career building and moving around a lot, which is what my brother had experienced with them. We talked about the fact that we experienced two very different sets of parents. And if they ever argued, I was never aware of it. If my father, who could be sometimes outrageous, said something my mother did not approve of, she would say, Larry. And she did it with a specific tone of voice, looking over the top of her glasses.
We all feel it.
And it was done. It was
Larry.
Done. Yeah. And either I didn't inherit the gene or he's learned to resist my gift. I'm not sure which of the two it is, but it's one of those two things. It was never such a big house that if they were fussing at each other, I would have heard it. Now, it was quieter at my house, but it didn't mean that I was any better equipped to deal with marital conflict than Ron was, because there was avoidance at his house. And then there was explosion. And then things calmed down again for a while. I lived with this very sort of flat line around conflict. So I miss some stuff. I miss that conflict that helps you learn how to deal with people and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have some rules for engagement. And maybe we can put a little bit of context to this, especially if you have kids in the home, how important this is. But what are the rules?
Well, we really worked very hard not to argue in front of the kids. We needed privacy for that. And we also understood that small kids don't understand so much the context. They just understand that there's something going on with mom and dad.
Now, you said you tried very hard. Did occasionally it break out? And how did you guys?
We lived in a 3-bedroom house, and there was air conditioning vents.
So you weren't perfect in that regard, but you tried hard not to do that.
Yep.
Okay, that's good. I just want to qualify that.
And given that, we always went out after that to bring them together and say, hey, we know you heard this. We know that you know what we're arguing about, and we just want to tell you we're okay, and we're okay vertically. We're okay with daddy. And I just want to ask you to forgive us for causing
conflict.
Yeah, conflict and not having a peaceful environment in the house.
Okay, so that models really well for the children how to deal with some conflict that they might be hearing between the parents. What's next?
No one's allowed to get in the car and drive off. It's not safe for anybody, not for the driver.
In the heat of the moment.
In the heat of the moment.
So you got to stay on the property.
Did you erect that boundary because there was a tendency to lean that direction? Or you just felt like we shouldn't do this?
It was just a never rule.
We didn't, back to the kids, we didn't want them to believe that the way to end a conflict with someone you care about is to get in the car and go away or leave. But then the rule that accompanies it is if somebody needs a timeout, 15 minutes, 20 minutes
space
tomorrow morning, some space to think about this and kind of bring myself back into a reasonable place. If I ask for it or he does, it's granted without condition. Because that allows us to be more purposeful and intentional in what we're doing.
Right. Another rule that I read is no name calling. Now, you don't say, hey, you Yankee Doodle Dandy.
No.
I mean, what does that mean?
It means that...
I don't think I've ever done name calling.
Well, sometimes behavior allows you to label somebody. Like, you're impatient.
Okay, so that would be name calling.
That would be name calling. I'm assigning you something that's not a godly attribute, and you're doing it in this moment, but that's not who you are. Okay. Overall.
Okay, so the name calling another I read in there is nothing physical, obviously.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we always want to qualify that. Mm-hmm. If you're in an environment or a relationship where it's physical abuse, you got to get free of that, get help. That disclaimer is always there and present. Here's one that's really critical. No dragging up the past.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I think all that's of us hard. As human beings do that. Both parents between each other as a married couple, and then the kids will jump in at times. Dad, you remember when you said to me, you never ate ice cream? I've seen you eat ice cream since.
Yeah. And it's always in the nevers that always get us in trouble. You always do this and you never do that.
Yeah.
It's not easy in the heat of a moment to not connect it to others that begin to roll across your memory. But you got to stay in the moment. That one's over. Could we just deal with what's happening now? If we want to talk about patterns, we do that after resolution and the current dust up is done.
No, that's good. Now, we're really getting into the practical help. So that's the rules of engagement, the rules of fighting, and I love that.
Yeah.
And again, people can get a copy of this, and maybe we can post some of these.
There's
online.
One more. Can I add it?
Yeah, got to give them all.
We didn't use the D word. We didn't throw the divorce word around.
Yeah.
Because the minute you give that life, it becomes a possibility.
Correct.
That's something that's never been considered, and all of a sudden, wow, where did that come from?
Good reminder.
So we didn't do it.
You also talk about the communication traps. I think these are the four S's.
They are.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That is.
What
yes.
are the four S's?
They are silence, sulking, sarcasm, and sounds.
And sound
I was
is
good
volume.
At sounds.
And is this something you want to avoid, these four S's?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Silence, you want to avoid. Silence sometimes is a great tool for me.
But
because it helps me back out of the emotional side.
But it creates an environment. Silent creates an environment where it seems to be peace, misinterpreted as peace.
Okay,
when
right.
it's really just silence.
So it's a form of
avoidance.
It's a form of manipulation.
Manipulation, right. Okay.
I'm not speaking to you today. Don't speak to me.
Interesting. That's silence. Sulking now. Just a little more definition of sulking.
I have no.
It's kind of the
I
same.
Cannot speak to that. So that's, it's not.
Sulking's not your weapon.
He's really not an expert in sulking. That might fall under my area of expertise on occasion. It means that I'm going to just kind of be the... I'm going to be the grumbly one. I'm going to be the one that says, sure, yeah, why, whatever you want.
Indifference.
It's indifference.
It can be a form of sulking.
And sulking also lets you know I'm not happy.
Sulking does come up in the Bible. It's called murmuring.
Okay.
It very much, and I do sulk. I go out to do the lawn and get outside, and all I do is talk about her. And it's not prayer. It's, you know,
if she would only.
Murmuring.
So it's totally murmuring. and it kept Israel out of the promised land.
Absolutely.
And it does every. I remember a guy said to me one time, you know, I said, how, you know, speaking about the relationship at home and stuff. And I said, do you help around the house? He goes, oh, yeah. I vacuum. I do the dishes. And I said, can I ask you a question? Do you talk about her murmur while you're doing it? And he goes, oh, yeah. So he's doing these amazing things for his family and his wife, but the whole time he's talking about her.
Which means he gets no credit.
Zero credit, and he's adding pain to it.
I know that. And then the sarcasm.
It's my least favorite on the list. Sarcasm.
Because it's your best trait.
No, it's not.
Okay.
There are other experts in my home around sarcasm. It's the 1-2 punch. It's when somebody goes, you look great today. And then you go, thanks. And then you realize, oh. That was the mixed message. Yeah. I don't look great
There's
at all.
There's spinach on my tooth.
Is that okay with you? Sure, that's absolutely fine. And so there's this moment when you think, oh, we've accomplished agreement. And then you realize that's not where you are at all.
Yeah. I appreciate her talking about that because I don't see it at all sometimes. So,
well,
yeah.
You see it as a pillow fight.
Yeah, it's
sarcasm is just a way to play.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I can use sarcasm effectively.
Yeah. And sometimes it's lost on people. Sometimes they don't get it.
John's pointing at me.
No, I'm just saying. I think we both are pretty good at that.
Yeah, sarcasm
is good to be called on it,
frankly. Yes, we're going to school today, John. I'll tell you. Okay, sound. I want to hit that one. Just yelling.
Sound is volume.
It's volume.
It's overpowering somebody else either in conversation or to sort of put them back in their place.
Okay, we need to land on the acronyms that help you out. So explain the DEAL acronym just quickly, and let's go to SPEAK so that people are equipped.
Okay.
So when we in our marriage relationship, we do need to deal with things. We need to deal with our emotions, with things that we're going through, thoughts that we're having. But don't take the bait in looking at a conflict. Don't jump into it.
So that's
Step
the D
back.
Of deal. Don't jump
yeah,
into it.
Yeah, that's the D. Don't just jump into it. Don't take the bait. Don't get the hook, you know. So the other one
that's so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
I am like a fish to the bait when it comes to that.
That
the
shiny
hook's
thing.
Dangling. The shiny thing. Yep.
And I'll my bite bet on is that your hook. Wife knows what to put on that hook.
Oh,
that's the problem.
Without a doubt.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it draws
right,
it
so
in before we know it.
Don't take the bait.
So, and then explain the impact of behavior. And that's really important because when we sit there and talk about, hey, man, I feel ambushed. I feel this. You know, can I explain to you how that behavior really impacted me? Then it's a step back and look, and it's really not about the conflict. It's the way it was presented. Mm-hmm. Then the A is ask questions to draw out information. So ask the questions. What are you going through? What are you dealing with something? You know, was there something from your day? So ask the questions that help get information so you know where you're coming from or where they're coming from in it. And then lastly in deal is let go of the need, the L, the let go of the need to manage the other person. And that is probably the hardest thing because that's what we want to do. But it is humility says let go, let God deal with you, and let God deal with them.
That is so hard to do. Man, we have got to hit speak just real quick because we're at the end of the program.
Speak,
but I want people to hear it. Okay, so we got to hit it. Speak, S.
S. Seek permission to speak. It may not be a good time. If he walks in the door and I hit him immediately with an issue, I've already taken perhaps half the opportunity to be successful off the table, not the right time. Hey, we need to talk about this. Is this a good time? Seek. P is for present the issue, the concern, the opportunity. Talk about the details. Here's what's in front of us. Here's what happened last night that really hurt my heart. I'd like to talk with you about it. And then E is for explore solutions, and you do this together. Two important skills required, asking and listening. Ask open-ended questions. The five W's and the H, who, what, when, where, why, and how. And then the harder part of that equation is listen without interrupting, which is the hardest part.
Man, are we going to school today or what?
You know, okay. We've all lived it. That's why.
So that's spe.
That's spe. The A is for acknowledge what you hear. When someone pours out their heart to you and you definitely can hear hurt or upset or betrayal, acknowledge that. Gosh, I'm so sorry that you experienced that. I'm sorry that what I said hurt you. Mm. And the K is tough. Keep it focused on the current issue. Don't drag in the thing from 16 years ago.
How about 6 days ago?
6 minutes
that's
ago.
A little more, that's a little more in play.
It is.
That's very good.
It's true. And I think it's so much, again, the human nature to do that, to say, well, you remember 4 years ago when you said, fill in the blank, and you're going, I actually don't. And then that actually is more irritating, the fact that you don't remember that.
That's right.
You should be thinking about it every day. But Deb and Ron, this has been so good. Man, I'm into it. And these acronyms and the things behind things like SPEAK are right there in your great book, Don't Go to Bed Angry, Stay Up and Fight. What a wonderful approach to better communication in marriage, which is, as you pointed out in your survey, the number one breakdown of relationship is this communication area. Ron and Deb, let me finish with this last question. To the couple, the person who's listening, and they know they're in the depth of conflict, what's the ladder? What's the first two steps of the ladder look like? We've been fighting all our lives, all our married lives, and we're not getting better. We're not even talking to each other. We're feeling the four S's, the silence, the sarcasm, all of it. What's the first step of the ladder look like?
The first thing is to know that your spouse is not the enemy. Okay, that is the first thing. No, they're not the enemy. Something else is. So get your eyes off of them as being the enemy.
And conflict can help you lead to great discovery. Gee, I didn't know you felt like that. Gee, I never saw it that way.
Better intimacy.
Better intimacy.
Emotional intimacy.
If it's handled well. If it's not, it takes you to damage and potentially destruction.
Yeah, well said.
Well, on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here at Focus on the Family, thanks for listening today. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.
That was a lot of sound advice from Rob and Deb DeArmond today. I really like the acronyms they shared to help us remember how to deal with conflict in marriage. This couple has learned from experience and developed an effective set of rules for fighting fair, outlined in their book, Don't Go to Bed Angry. They also show how communicating through conflict can lead to greater understanding of thoughts, feelings, and perspectives that can safeguard and even strengthen your relationship. To order your copy, call us on 031-716-3300 or visit safamily.co.za. While you're online, take our marriage assessment. It's a quick 10-minute tool to help you understand your marriage's strengths and weaknesses. And don't miss Truth Rising. Our civilization has abandoned the very concept of truth. But when we boldly shine His light, serve those in need, and stand for truth, change happens. One heart, one family, and one community at a time. Truth Rising streams from the 12th of September. Watch the trailer now at safamily.co.za. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.